It's The Next Gear on podtech.net. I'm Matt Kelly. In the U.S., electric cars have yet to become a reality for the masses. But it's quite a different story over in Europe, particularly in London, where parking and congestion fees, as well as the high price of petrol, are putting many consumers in the driver's seats of many alternatively fueled vehicles. One such vehicle is the G-Wiz, an electric vehicle that runs on batteries, with a top speed of 42 miles per hour, getting an equivalent of 600 miles per gallon. The vehicle was designed here in California and manufactured in India by the Indo-US Riva Electric Car Company and is constructed of plastic. It's distributed throughout the UK exclusively by Going Green, a startup company dedicated to encouraging carbon-neutral motoring, founded by Stephen Kane and Nick Hewson. Going Green Managing Director Keith Johnson joins me on the show to talk about the company and introduce us to the G-Wiz. Keith, welcome to the show.
Yes, hello, Matt.
Tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into the vehicle.
Well, I'm not an engineer, first of all. I'm a marketeer. I spent 20 years in advertising, building brands before getting involved in Going Green. So my focus really is on creating the need for electric cars and, making a really good connection between the environmental issues and motoring. So persuading people they should buy cleaner cars. I don't need to understand the technology at a really deep level to be able to do that. And I guess the second thing is I'm an entrepreneur in that this is the fifth startup I've been involved in. I love starting new businesses and really turning ideas, into commercial entities, if you like. I suppose the other thing is I'm an environmentally concerned parent. I have three children, and I want to do everything I can to ensure they have a decent future. And here in the UK, fuel emissions account for something like 22% of all carbon emissions. So it's a big problem. So I was really kind of annoyed and frustrated at the car industry globally when I see how hesitant and resistant to change they've been. So I wanted to get involved and, be part of the catalyst for change, I suppose.
And Going Green is part of that catalyst, a young company. How did the company come to form?
Well, Steve and Nick were in India, actually on a Leader's Quest expedition about 4 years ago, and they came across the prototype for the G-Wiz electric car. And at the time, we knew that the congestion charge was being introduced into London and that emission-free cars would be exempt, but also that there were no emission-free cars available to take advantage of that exemption. So we spent a couple of years really on R&D, changing, adapting the Indian car for the European market, getting it fully EU-type approved, and we started selling the car about 2.5 years ago.
Introduce us to this vehicle, the G-Wiz. What are its specifications? And talk about its promise.
It's designed as a car for congested cities. Originally, it's being sold in Bangalore, which in terms of congestion is actually not that dissimilar to London. We have very narrow and crowded streets. So the first thing is it's small. It's about 2.6 meters long, 1.3 meters wide. It's a 2+2-seater. There's room for a couple of adults in the front and two small children in the back. As I think you said, it's 100% electric, so it uses traditional lead-acid batteries. So it means you just plug the charging lead into the car and then into any standard indoor or outdoor electric socket, either in the drive or in the car parks where I have charging points now in London and on a few of the on-street charging points that are there as well. Because it's small and light, it doesn't matter that the lead-acid battery technology is limited in terms of performance. The car actually does 45 miles an hour, although all the speed limits in London are 30 mostly and 40 miles an hour. So it's more than enough to keep up with the speed. It's quite nippy. And the average speed in London anyway is between 7 and 10 miles an hour anyway. The range is up to 48 miles. So it means for most people using the car to drive maybe 20 miles a day, You know, you don't have to recharge it more than, say, every other day. And you just plug it in at night, it recharges overnight. It's probably the first commercially successful electric car in Europe. I guess, I mean, Going Green's claim to fame is that we created the electric car market here. The car is now a reasonably common sight in London. We've sold about 900 of them. And I think, well, it definitely makes that the UK's best-selling EV, and possibly London now is Europe's EV capital. It's officially the cleanest car on the road. It's emission-free, of course, no emissions from the car itself. We reckon that if you include emissions from a typical power station instead, and you measure that, then it's about two-thirds cleaner than the average small-size similar car. But it also uses 75% less energy. So we also make it carbon neutral, by the way. We offset the manufacturing and the first 2 years driving. So it's about as clean as you can get.
And you indicated that it's using traditional lead acid batteries. I do understand that soon the vehicle is going to be upgradable to lithium ion batteries. Is that correct?
Yes. Last June, we switched from the original DC motor to an AC motor. And the AC motor is compatible and upgradable for customers to lithium ion. We're still testing lithium ion. Here in the UK, we still have a few question marks over the use of that technology with regard to safety in particular. So we will probably have finished our testing on that in the next 6 months and be introducing something either later this year or early next year.
What is the price of the vehicle now with the lead acid batteries, and how do you expect it to change once it comes with a lithium ion battery?
Well, the price, the on-the-road price, including tax, for the DC version is £7,000, and for the AC version, it's £8,300. The cost of a replacement power pack, a lead-acid power pack, is £1,300. We don't have pricing yet for the lithium-ion equivalent, because we'll probably be offering a range of different performance options. But it's probably going to be twice as expensive, between two and three times as expensive for the power pack.
What are the performance limitations of the G-Wiz?
Well, its limitations are that it's what its intended use is, really, which is it's a city car. It's road legal to be used on motorways, on the highways across the UK, but we certainly don't advise customers to do that because it's small and it's slow. I think what we're seeing, of course, is with lithium ion and with the development of battery management systems and alternative battery technologies, is that the current limitations of speed, acceleration, and range, and therefore of size and the number of people you can get into a car, all of those things are being overcome and will be overcome starting from next year. I mean, you can already pretty much do what you want with lithium-ion technology. It's just that it's pretty expensive. And unlike Tesla, really, whose strategy has been to create this halo effect around a brand with, in effect, a technology demonstrator, we're approaching it from the other end of the market. And our non-commercial aim is to have as big an impact on climate change as possible, which means to get as many people driving these cars as possible, which for us means getting the price down as much as possible. And so our whole operating model is designed around that. So, for example, we have no dealers, no showrooms, we don't do any advertising. It's all viral word of mouth. And we find that that's really working. You know, there's a tremendous interest here for that.
You've indicated you've sold about 900 of these vehicles, or 900 or so, are on the streets of London. Is there a target number for your company in order to deem it a success?
Yeah, there is. I mean, those numbers are confidential, but I can tell you that, you know, we've achieved break-even as a business on the number of units we're selling a year. So, you know, that's another good strength of the operating model that we have. It's a low-cost model. We have a low margin on the car. So it's enabled us to bootstrap the business over the last 4 years to get it to this point. I think as the technology improves, as we introduce second-generation products, then we'll start to improve the appeal of the car, and it will extend beyond London into other cities around the UK and to other cities in Europe. So at that point, we move from shifting a few hundred units a year to several thousand units a year. And, you know, within a short space of time, tens of thousands of units a year.
What are the main challenges that your company is facing in trying to get widespread adoption of this type of technology and this vehicle in particular?
Well, I guess it's the government, really. Here in the UK, we've got a government which is very strong on environmental rhetoric, but we've not really seen the policies following that up. And so that creates some confusion in the marketplace. We're not seeing really clear and consistent signals and support. There's a kind of technology neutral approach. So even though electric cars are by far the cleanest cars, they're not supported in any particular way. We have a general taxation trend here towards taxation based on vehicle emissions. So there are obvious financial benefits here in London. I think we are seeing at local government level, at the municipal local authority level, in central London, we've seen some fantastic support in terms of free charging, which is worth as much as £6,000 a year. So that's been a real beacon. And I think without that, we wouldn't have been able to make it a success in London. Looking further ahead, I think the most of the challenges that we face, we're in the process of overcoming. And those are really an understanding of the technology, improving the technology, an understanding of the market. And it's a, you know, in being the first company into a market, we're obviously not just building a business, we're building a whole new sector. So much of my time and effort is spent in generating awareness of the products, of the idea, of the potential, of the capabilities, and really overcoming people's perceptions that maybe low-range, low-speed cars are in some way inferior, whereas, you know, I would ask the question, why on earth would you pay £20,000 or £30,000 for a car that will take you 400 miles at 140 miles an hour when actually you're just going a few miles down the road every day at a very low speed? And that's really it. I think, you know, we're at the start of that, and we're seeing the barriers starting to tumble pretty quickly now.
And that leads into my next area of discussion here in terms of government involvement and support through tax incentives, tax breaks, research grants versus private enterprise. Where does the balance come? Do you think small business such as yourself is doing an adequate job in meeting the challenge of trying to bring this technology to market? Or do you really think that government needs to play much more of a stronger role?
I think if to answer that question, you probably have to look at the environmental timeline on this. And every month we seem to see a shorter timeline in terms of how long we have as a planet before environmentally it's too late. So it's incredibly frustrating that we're not seeing joined up thinking and policy around the world, and in fact the USA and Australia are perhaps, you know, some of the governments that have been the slowest to react to this. I think that's aligned to that, I guess I'm a conspiracy theorist in the sense that I wonder why, you know, when in your state in California back in the 90s you had the EV1 from General Motors and other electric vehicles which were very popular with the people that were driving them, and then were withdrawn once the CARB appeals had been successful. So it seems to me, you know, and perhaps one of the reasons is that it's actually very difficult to tax electricity since you can plug your car in at home, whereas here in the UK, tax on fuel is extremely high, and it's probably after personal income tax, it's probably the main source of revenue for the government here. So we acknowledge that it's not easy, but if the big guys in the auto industry are at the very least dragging their feet on this and being resistant to change, then you know, it's absolutely down to the small guys like us to be the catalysts for change. And I don't think that's going to change. I think there are maybe 10 or 20 companies worldwide now that are starting to make a mark. And we have access to capital. There's a lot of interest in this sector. And I think as soon as we've grown it over the next 2 or 3 years, then we'll start to see the majors moving in and government support will no longer be required. So I think we're going to get there one way or another. We'd get there more quickly if we did have the support from government, but I can't see it coming just yet.
The reverse of it, in a sense, is what do you see the responsibility of the consumer is? What is their role in bringing this technology to market?
Well, I think it's very simple. If you've got children, it's your duty to do something to combat climate change, and driving an emission-free car is probably the quickest, simplest, easiest way of doing it, apart from actually turning the radiators down and the lights off in your home. It's that basic for me. The interesting thing is that this movement, if you like, and it feels like a movement here in London, is absolutely 100% driven by consumers. It's government that's following and, as I said earlier, not really reacting.
Do you envision markets outside of Europe for this vehicle and for your company, like you indicated, Australia and perhaps the United States?
Well, I think that's one for the manufacturer, for the guys over in India at Rayver to answer. It's obviously India and Australia is somewhat different in that there's very long, much longer distances between towns and cities, and even within cities, and you're used to much bigger cars. So there's a different culture, and I think for that reason, it may take a little longer, although most trends seem to start in the States. I think this is one that actually is not the case.
And your final thoughts on Going Green, its mission for encouraging carbon neutral motoring, and the promise of the G-Wiz for the London market as well as for the planet in general?
Well, I think what we've achieved now is we've demonstrated that the electric car product works, and we've demonstrated that there is some demand for it. And this is the first generation product. It's like the first computer or the first mobile phone, if you like, and the technology, and therefore the benefits of that technology are going to change very quickly over the coming years. So I think the future of city motoring is electric. I think the future of electric cars is probably some kind of solar electric hybrid, perhaps with a fuel cell element to it. I think in larger countries like the US, then you've probably got the plug-in hybrid, which will have a strong role to play. But I think the gene is out of the bag, if you like, and this is a trend that's just going to get bigger and bigger.
Keith Johnson, Managing Director for UK-based Going Green Distributors of the Indo-US Riva Electric Car Company's G-Wiz. What a pleasure having you on the show today. Come back anytime.
Thank you. You're welcome.
For The Next Gear, I'm Matt Kelly on podtech.net.